Section 9.0, the problem with cardio and my solution. Yes, believe it or not, all of those hours upon boring hours of repetitive low to moderate intensity cardio training sessions are not the best way to lose body fat and reveal your abs. Many trainers in the media seem obsessed with the thinking that the best and only way to lose body fat is through long, boring cardio routines. Well, I'm here to tell you that they couldn't be more wrong. Look around, and you'll see people all the time laboriously pumping away on some cardio machine day after day, wondering why they can't lose any more body fat. While it is true that aerobic training, cardio, does burn a higher percentage of fat during the actual exercising than anaerobic training, such as wind sprints or weight training, which really rely heavily on carbs for energy, this does not mean that aerobic training will promote a leaner body than anaerobic training. The reason for this relates to the important aspects of your overall RMR, the quantity of lean body mass you possess, the hormonal response from the exercise stimulus, and the residual metabolic effect of your training session in the hours and days following your workout. First, as previously stated, your RMR remains elevated for 1 to 2 hours following a typical cardio workout. Conversely, your RMR remains elevated for up to 1 to 2 days. Following a strenuous anaerobic training session, weight training, sprints, and other high-intensity exercises, in which a large quantity of your skeletal muscles have been worked extensively and through high force levels. This trauma created in your muscles during anaerobic training is the process of muscle protein breakdown. Then, in the hours and days following that anaerobic training session, your body must repair the damaged muscle. This is called muscle protein synthesis. During this whole process, your RMR is elevated due to the repair work your body is performing. Hence, you end up burning a lot more additional calories from this residual RMR increase than you would have from the cardio training session. In the long run, this aspect is more important towards creating a lean body than those few extra fat calories that you would have burned during a cardio workout. Second, as simple as this fact sounds, it is most often overlooked by people trying to lose weight who think that they have to focus on cardio to lose the weight. Weight training builds lean muscle mass and therefore increase your RMR. Excessive cardio training actually can cause a loss of lean muscle mass, therefore decreasing your RMR. Hence, the lower your RMR, the harder it's going to be to lose any more body fat, and easier to store body fat if you happen to overeat. The result is that people who use primarily cardio-based workouts and also have a poor diet frequency frequently acquire that quote-unquote skinny fat appearance, where they have very little muscle definition coupled with excess body fat. It is common to hear fitness professionals and medical doctors prescribe low to moderate intensity aerobic training, cardio, to people who are trying to prevent heart disease or lose weight. Most often, the recommendations constitute something along the lines of, quote-unquote, perform 30 to 60 minutes of steady-paced cardio 3 to 5 times per week, maintaining your heart rate at a moderate level. Before you just give in to this popular belief and become the hamster on a wheel, doing endless hours of boring cardio, I'd like you to consider some recent scientific research that indicates that steady-paced endurance cardio work may not be all it's cracked up to be. First, realize that our bodies are designed to perform physical activity in bursts of exertion followed by recovery, or stop-and-go movement, instead of steady-state movement. Recent research is suggesting that physical variability is one of the most important aspects to consider in your training. This tendency can be seen throughout nature, as all animals demonstrate stop-and-go motion, instead of steady-state motion. In fact, humans are the only creatures in nature that attempt to do endurance-type physical activities. Most competitive sports, with the exception of endurance running or cycling, are also based on stop-and-go movement, or short bursts of exertion followed by recovery. To examine an example of the different effects of endurance, or steady-state training versus stop-and-go training, consider the physiques of marathoners versus sprinters. Most sprinters carry a physique that is very lean, muscular, and powerful-looking, while the typical dedicated marathoner is often more emaciated and sickly-looking. Now, which would you rather resemble? Another factor to keep in mind regarding the benefits of physical variability is the internal effect of various forms of exercise on our body. Scientists have known that excessive steady-state endurance exercise, different for everyone but sometimes defined as greater than 60 minutes a session most days of the week, increases free radical production in the body, can degenerate joints, reduces immune function, causes muscle wasting and can cause a pro-inflammatory response in the body that can potentially lead to chronic diseases. On the other hand, highly variable intensity training has been linked to increased antioxidant production in the body and an anti-inflammatory response, a more efficient nitric oxide response, which can encourage a healthy cardiovascular system, and an increased metabolic rate response, which can assist with weight loss. Furthermore, steady-state endurance training only trains the heart at one specific heart rate range and doesn't train it to respond to various everyday stressors. On the other hand, highly variable intensity trains the heart in a much wider heart rate range and teaches it to respond to and recover from a variety of demands, making it less likely to fail when you need it. The important aspect of variable intensity training that makes it superior over steady state cardio is the recovery period in between bursts of exertion. That recovery period is crucially important for the body to elicit a healthy response to an exercise stimulus. Another benefit of variable intensity training is that it is much more interesting and has lower dropout rates than long, boring, steady-state cardio programs. To summarize this section about cardio, some of the potential benefits of variable intensity training compared to steady-state endurance training are as follows. Improved cardiovascular health, increased antioxidant protection, improved immune function, reduced risk of joint wear and tear, reduced muscle wasting, increased residual metabolic rate following exercise, and an increased capacity for the heart to handle life's everyday stressors. There are many ways you can reap the benefits of a stop-and-go or variable intensity physical training. Wind sprints or hill sprints are the ultimate in variable intensity training and will get you ripped and muscular in no time flat. If you're in good enough shape to sprint, always sprint instead of jogging. Trust me, your body will look much better for it. For a great finish to your weight training workouts, or for a great workout on their own, try about 6 to 12 all-out sprints of about 50 to 100 yards with 30 to 90 seconds rest in between. Another great method of incorporating highly variable intensity exercise is to play sports. Most competitive sports such as football, basketball, racquetball, tennis, hockey, etc. are naturally comprised of highly variable stop-and-go motion. In addition, weight training naturally incorporates short bursts of exertion followed by recovery periods. High-intensity interval training, varying between high and low-intensity intervals on any piece of cardio equipment, is yet another training method that utilizes exertion and recovery periods. For example, an interval training session on the treadmill could look something like this. Caution, this may be too fast for shorter individuals, or if you're not yet in good shape. Adjust appropriately. Warm up for 3 to 4 minutes at a fast walk or light jog. Interval 1. Run at 8 miles an hour for 1 minute. Interval 2. Walk at 4 miles an hour for 1.5 minutes. Then interval 3. Run at 10 miles an hour for 1 minute. Then interval 4. Walk at 4 miles an hour for 1.5 minutes. Then repeat those 4 intervals 4 times for a very intense 20-minute workout. Hopefully this section has convinced you to focus the majority of your training on weight training and other forms of resistance training, coupled with high-intensity, interval-type cardio and or sprints in your quest for losing body fat to uncover your abs. I also recommend mixing in high-intensity-type training such as jumping rope, boxing, a rowing machine, stair climbing, and hill running into your routine in your quest to get lean. I guarantee you that a 20-minute high-intensity interval training session is much more effective than a 40 to 50-minute boring steady-paced cardio session due to the several factors discussed previously, such as the residual metabolic afterburn effect, muscle retention, hormonal response, heart rate variability, etc. It will also save you time. Another incredible interval-style workout that really stimulates the fat-burning hormonal response in the body is hill sprinting. If you have any type of hill near your house, this workout is as simple as running as fast as you can up the hill for about 20 to 30 yards, or however big the hill is, and then walk down the hill as your recovery interval. Keep repeating sprinting up the hill with walking down the hill. About 10 to 15 minutes of that is very intense, and usually enough of a workout for most people. If you have any kind of hill, perhaps at a park or even just a hilly road near you, consider incorporating hill sprints a couple times a week into your workout routines, and I guarantee You'll see a leaner body within weeks.